just go into the word. Let us all agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that there is clarity as God's word is taught. There is no confusion as your word is taught this evening. Truth of God's word is taught with clarity, in precision, and with accuracy. But our hearts are receptive to receive your word. Our hearts are receptive to receive your word. And at the end of today's study, as saints, we are edified, and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I would like that you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you are with your Bibles, which I believe you should be with, it's a Bible study class. Let's see Paul's letter to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Look at what it says. Paul says, "Now concerning spiritual brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Now concerning spirituals, yeah, you say, so in your Bible you see now concerning spiritual gifts, I will not have you ignorant. You know, but in the real sense, we see that the word their gift is in brackets, or it's in italics rather. You know, so it says, "Now, brethren, concerning spirituals, I would not have you ignorant." I would not have you ignorant. You see, the word there, concerning, is the word peri, and is the word that means pertaining or concerning or with regards to. Yeah, it says, look at it again. "Now concerning spirituals, I will not have you ignorant." There's a translation I'm trying to, you know, I just want us to read. Okay, yes, you know, there's this translation called the BBE, Bible in Basic English, I believe. It says, "But about the things of the Spirit, my brothers, I will not it is not right for you to be without teaching." I'll read that again. Just hold on. Bible in Basic English. See what it says there. It says, "But about the things of the Spirit, my brothers, I will not, or it is not right, rather, for you to be without teaching. But about the things of the Spirit," so as regarding or concerning the things of the Spirit. Now, if you look at your King James translation, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts." The word there, spiritual, is a Greek word that means, or that says, pneumatikos. Yeah, gotten from two Greek base words, which is pneuma and tikos. Yeah, pneuma is a Greek word for spirits, while tikos is things or things around or things of. So pneumatikos will be things of the Spirit. So Bible in Basic English makes us say, it says, "But about..." Now, so King James will say, "Now concerning," or "now about," or "now with regards to," or "now regarding the things of," or spirituals. Yeah, Bible in Basic English will tell us it is, "But about the things of the Spirit, my brothers." Now, in your Bible, you will see brethren. The word there, brethren, is the word adelphos. You know, gotten from a word, or a word that really means those from the same source, those from the same womb. Yeah, you know, so when it says brethren is not a word used for only the male gender in that Bible. So brethren is what it will be in English, yeah, but in the Greek manuscript, adelphos is those of the same womb. So it is not gender specific, rather it is a word that deals with those that come from the same womb. So brethren will be for both male and female. So you can look at a sister and say you are part of the brethren, or you are part of the brotherhood. Yeah, she is a female based on gender, but she is part of the brotherhood. Paul tells us there is neither male nor female. Yeah, there's neither Jew nor Greek. We are all one in Christ. For as many of us have been baptized, have believed the gospel. So Paul says, "But about the things," in Bible Basic English, Bible in Basic English, "but about the things of the Spirit, my brothers." Yeah, my brothers is not meaning that Paul is talking to only the men in the church. No. If you look at verse chapter 12. You look at chapter 11, sorry. You see that in chapter 11, he has spoken about men praying and women praying, and men prophesying and women look at verse 5. "But every woman," that's 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5. "But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth Yeah, every woman that prayeth, or so a woman can pray, a woman can prophesy, so a woman can function in the things of the spirit, a woman can lead a church. We've seen that several in scriptures. So Paul now says, now concerning spirituals, yeah, brethren, those of us from the same womb, those of us from the same womb, I would not have you ignorant. Bible in basic English says what? It is not right for you to be without teaching. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, he says, look at verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Yeah, but there are diversities of gifts. In verse 5, he says, there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. Yeah, verse 6 says, there are diversities of operations, but the same God. So you see, the same Spirit in verse 4 is the same Lord in verse 5, and the same God in verse 6. Yeah, so in other words, in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit, yeah, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. You see, he has given you a context of the every man in verse 1. Yeah, how do we know the context? Now, concerning spirituals, brethren, brothers, yeah, brothers will be brethren, will be those of the same womb, that includes women. So he had already streamlined his conversation into brethren. So when he says, verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, it will be every man that is part of the brotherhood, that every species, either male or female. So the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every believer, so to say, because a believer is one part, or a believer is one who is a member of the brethren. A believer is one who has believed the gospel and is born again. That is born of the Spirit. That's born of water. That is the Spirit. So the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every believer for profitability. Now, if you look at verse 8, he says, for to one is given by the same Spirit, haba. He just told us that the manifestation, all of them, is given to every. All manifestations is given to every. Let me say better English. All manifestations are given to every. So he cannot now come and say in verse 8 and say, for to one is given as by the Spirit. So it cannot mean that the Spirit now gives one word of knowledge. The Spirit now gives another word of knowledge, or gives another word of wisdom. No. He had emphasized on the same Spirit, verse 4, on the same Lord, verse 5, on the same God, verse 6. Yeah, he now says that all is given by the same Spirit to every brother, every brethren, every. So it will be all of those that are born from the same womb, the womb of the Spirit, figurative. Yeah, the womb of resurrection. Yeah, so for to one, yeah, we saw over and over that the word there for to one there, particularly, is a word that is M-E-N in the Greek, and is a word that means certainly, truly, or indeed. Yeah, indeed, certainly, truly. So he's not saying that the Spirit gives one man the word of wisdom and the Spirit now gives to another. See, if you check your Bible very well, if you check the Greek manuscript, the word two before another doesn't have a translation. It doesn't have a word it was translated from. Are we together? Yeah, so it is for to one. Actually, it is certainly is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Another, so there is no two another. See, that King James translation with the two, it leads a lot of us into a lot of things. Yeah, the word there two is not in that verse. Yeah, to another is not in that verse. To another, the workings of miracles, to another, no, the word two before the another is not in the verse. So it is for to one, that is certainly is given. So truly, indeed, by the Spirit, the word of wisdom is given. Yeah, I just did God's Palace translation there. I'll say it again. For to one, it is certainly, indeed, truly, is given by the Spirit. So the Spirit certainly gives the word of knowledge. Another is the word of knowledge. Pardon me. Let me say that again. Yeah, the Spirit certainly gives the word of wisdom. Another is the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Another is faith. By the same Spirit, another is gift. So another gift or another manifestation is what? Word of knowledge. Another manifestation is what? The gifts of healing. Another manifestation is what? The workings of miracles. So you see that verse 11 now makes it clearer. It says, all these worketh that one and self-same spirit, he told us in verse 7, all this of the spirit is given to every brethren. Yeah, permit my English. Yeah, all these manifestations, they are given to every man, that is brethren, every believer from the same womb to profit with her. So, but all this worketh that one and the self-same spirit, dividing to every believer. Remember, when you see every man in that context, he has narrowed down your thought system to be brethren in verse 1. Now concerning the things of the spirit, brethren, brothers, yeah, so divide it to every man severally as he will. So the word there, the words he will in verse 11 is a single word in the Greek manuscript, and it's a word that means to be deliberately willing. Yeah, so the dividing to every man is depending or dependent on the willingness of the man, of the every man, of the brother that is a part of the brotherhood. See, every member of God's brotherhood, or every member of that brotherhood, that is brotherhood of, that is united by the Spirit, has the same Spirit. Yeah, so it is the man that determines how he wants the Spirit to flow. We looked at it on Sunday, and we said something. Here's an example. Yeah, water is always supplied to your house by the government. Yeah, let's assume you live in a place where the government recognizes as human being. Yeah. So really, yeah. So water is supplied to your house, but water doesn't always flow in your house. Yeah, all you need to do for water to flow, to brush your teeth, to clean your house, to wash your body, is for you to switch the flip, or right, flip the switch, or whatever. Yeah, turn on the tap. Let's just tap. So, turn on the tap. Yeah, so it is in turning on the tap that water that already wants to flow will flow. Yeah, your tap only regulates the flow of the water. So, who determines the flow of the water? Is it the water or you? It is you. Did you get that? Yeah, what determines the flow of water in your house is you, not the water. The water is always willing to flow. The water is always willing to give expression. But you are the one to control water, stop, water, flow. How do you do that? Put on the tap, put off the tap. So it is fully and solely in your hands. So dividing to every man as he will is as he is deliberately willing to allow water to flow. The Spirit will what? Flow and have a free course. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, we looked at something again. We said that, now look at, remember you told us something. He said that what? Verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every believer to profit with her. He now tells you in verse 10, to another, that is another gift is the working of miracles, to another is what? Prophecy. Another gift is discerning of spirit, and another gift is what? Kinds of tongues. Yeah, the word diverse is in bracket, so it's not in that verse. He says, to another interpretation of tongues. On Sunday, we look at how Paul taught hand in hand in tongues and interpretation of tongues. Now, we saw on Sunday that the word interpretation is the word Emmanuel, rather. Yeah, you know, which is similar to the word Emmanuel in Luke 24. Now, go to Luke 24 quickly. Go to Luke 24. Luke 24. Look at it, verse 24. And certain of them which went to the sepulchre found it even so as the woman had said. But Jesus they saw not. Now Jesus said unto them, verse 25, O fools, and slow of heart. Why did he call them fools? Because they were slow of heart. Slow of heart to do what? To believe all that the prophets have spoken. So did the prophets speak? Yes. What were they to do with it? They were to believe. Now, what did the prophet say? The summary of the message, according to the prophet by Jesus, is, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now, that is in context of what was happening. Yeah, and beginning at where? Moses and all the prophets, he expounded. That word they expounded is the word Emmanuel. Yeah, the word interpretation or interpret in 1 Corinthians 12 is Emmanuel. Emmanuel is a word that is Emmanuel. You know, usually they are usually used interchangeably a lot of times. Yeah, and this word Emmanuel, we saw it in our Bible seminar to be a word that speaks about interpretation and translation while explaining. Yeah, and we said that it is a word that deals with the law of conversion from one language to one's native language for understanding. So it is more like move from a language to another language for what? Understanding. For what? Comprehension. Hallelujah. So look, go to Mark 16. Let's see Mark 16 before we go back to 1 Corinthians 12. Look at Mark 16. Mark 16. Look at Mark 16 verse 15. Mark 16:15. It says, and Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That is, he that believeth, that is his baptized, is baptized, shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And now says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Yeah, they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall speak with new tongues. Now, we've explained over time that tongues is part of the inheritance that a saint receives upon believing the gospel. Now, remember, Jesus tells you that they shall speak with new tongues. Paul tells you in 1 Corinthians 12. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. Go back to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10. Jesus says, these signs will follow. Part of the signs is what? They shall speak with new tongues. Paul now tells you in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10, that another gift that the Spirit gives apart from tongues is interpretation of tongues. Did you get what I just did? Now, the reason why a man who believes the gospel will speak in new tongues is because he has received a spirit. He has received the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God that gives that vocabulary or gives that ability to be able to speak with a new tongues or with new tongues. Yeah, Paul now taught us very well in 1 Corinthians 12 and tells you that, certainly the Spirit gives tongues. But another is actually interpretation of tongues. Another gift. So it means that if you can function in that gift that the Spirit gave, that Jesus said the Spirit will give to those that believe in Mark 16, you can function in the rest. Why? Because it is the Spirit that is responsible for all. Jesus tells us that this sign shall follow because you have the Spirit. Yeah, remember, he that believeth that is baptized is saved. What does it mean to be saved? It means that you have the Spirit of God. What is Paul teaching in 1 Corinthians 12? It is that the same Spirit that makes you saved is the same Spirit that Jesus said that will make you speak in tongues, and is the same Spirit that is responsible for interpretation of tongues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, so we looked at interpretation, and we saw interpretation on Sunday to be to give meaning to, or to uncover, or to explain something. Yeah, to explain something or to give meaning to. Yeah, we looked at that on Sunday. Now go to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's see. We saw that Paul taught tongues usually hand in hand with interpretation of tongues. Now, we said something on Sunday. We said that what? There is a difference between interpretation of tongues and translation of tongues. Or let me say it this way. They said there is a difference between translation and interpretation. Now, we looked at a very basic example on Sunday. We said in the Yoruba dialect, there's a phrase that is known as fietisile. Yeah, fietisile, if you are asked to interpret it, it means pay attention. If you are asked to translate it, it means put your ears on the ground. Yeah, that is the translation. That is the translation. If you so if a Yoruba person comes and meets you as a Yoruba person and says fietisile, or you that is not Yoruba, and he wants to explain what he said or interpret what he said, he will say, I'm saying pay attention to what they are doing. Focus on what they are doing so you can know what they are doing. Now, if he says translate that which I just, it is what? Put your ears to the ground. Yeah? So, the translation is different from interpretation. Now, Paul teaches tongues and interpretation, not tongues and translation. Hello? Tongues and interpretation, not tongues and translation. So, it means that when you are speaking in tongues and you want to interpret tongues, you are not waiting to translate word for word that which you spoke in tongues. However, you are one who wants to give expression to interpret that which has been said. Yeah, to interpret is different from to translate. Yeah, the Bible teaches interpretation of tongues, not translation of tongues. Yeah, so it's not like a proposke na na for she pro never ka proke na for scare. Oh God, what's it next? Eh, okay, I need to get. You see, the reason why a lot of people don't interpret their tongue is because they are scared and because they have a mindset of translation. It is when you have a mindset of translation that you will be scared and you will want to look forward to making sure that you get the exact things correctly. Let's assume fietisile, for example. Yeah. So if you say fietisile, yeah, in your mind, the reason why you should be scared of what you need to say about it is because you feel like you want to put fi, explain, and give translation. Eti, you want to give a translation. Sile, you want to put, see, But it's like you are trying to get the exact translation. However, the scripture teaches tongues and interpretation. So see what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14. Yeah, see what he said in 1 Corinthians 14. For he that speaketh in tongues speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Yeah, we will say that no man understandeth it. Yeah, how be it in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. He says, but he that prophesieth speaketh not unto God. Yeah, at this time, is he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, to exhortation, and to comfort. Verse 4, he that speaketh in tongues edifieth himself. Yeah, the word there edify means to build up or to strengthen up. Yeah, so when you speak in tongues, you are strengthening yourself, you are strengthening up yourself, you are building yourself up. Yeah, but he that prophesied edified the church. You strengthen the church, you build up the church. What does it mean to build up the church? Verse 3 tells you edification, exhortation, and comfort. Are we together? Then verse 5 now says, I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. You said that the word there rather is the word malon, and it's a word that implies much more or so much the more. Yeah, so tongues when interpreted equals to prophecy. What is the goal? For edification of the church, to edify the church. Look at verse 13 of that same chapter. 1 Corinthians 13. 14, that same chapter. Verse 13, 14, 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in tongues pray that he may interpret it. Now, this is what a lot of people do with that verse. Oh God, what is the interpretation? Please now. No. See, the word there, that after pray, is the word H-I-N-A, hina. Yeah, Ina, yeah, anyhow you want to pronounce it, yeah. And it's a word that means in order to, or so as to. Yeah, oh, see, so the word there, that after pray, is the word Ina. Yeah, it is so as to, or in order to, or to an intent, or with the intent. Yeah, so in fact, it's like a continuation of verse 12. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spirituals, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Yes, wherefore let him that speaketh in, so look at it carefully. Even so ye, verse 12, for as much as ye are zealous or spirituals, yeah, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. When he says seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church, it means that let your attention be to make sure that the church is edified. That's verse 12. What did he tell you edifying simply means? It means that if you prophesy in verse 3, you are speaking unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. In verse 4, when you prophesy, you edify the church. So if you get to verse 12 and you want to excel to edify the church, it means he's speaking about prophecy. So it means, so wherefore, as much as ye are zealous of spirituals, yeah, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in tongues pray so as to interpret, or pray with the intent of interpret. Why? Because you are to bring edification to the church in verse 12. Hallelujah. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongues or in tongues pray with the intent to end out. Let your end goal be interpretation. Why? So that you can edify the church. So when you speak in tongues, you edify yourself. When you interpret your tongues, you edify, exhort, and bring comfort to the church. Verse 14, for if I pray in tongues, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is fruitful. Dear saints, when you pray in tongues, your spirit prayeth, but your understanding is fruitful. When you pray in tongues, your spirit prayeth, my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray in the spirit, and I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with understanding also. Look at verse 19. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach. Are we together? Yeah, look at verse 16 again. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupied the room of the unlearned, that's the word idiotes, one who is unschooled concerning a subject matter, how can he say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He now tells you something in verse 26. Go to verse 26 quickly. How is it there, brethren? What is how is it there, brethren? How is it those of you that are born from the same womb? When you come together, every one of you had a psalm. Not some. Every one of you had a psalm. Every one of you had a doctrine, had a tongue, had a revelation, had an interpretation. He says, let all things be done unto what? Edifying. So what is Paul teaching primarily in 1 Corinthians 14? He's teaching about what? The order that is to be found amongst or in the gathering of saints. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, interpretation in this chapter, between chapter 12 and chapter 14, was used 6 times by Paul. So there was an emphasis of interpretation by Paul, or there was an emphasis concerning interpretation by Paul. Yeah, so Paul usually taught in tongues with interpretation. Why? Because he had the forefront of, he was writing to a church in 1 Corinthians. Altogether. On Sunday, we paid attention to something. We paid attention to what we call the language and the speech. Yeah, we're trying to head towards interpretation. Yeah, and we said that language is, you know, that which is used for cultures or for boundaries, used in culture for boundaries or something that binds people together. Yeah, so we said that usually languages have a cultural connotation. We looked at Genesis chapter 11 verse 1. We saw the story of the Tower of Babel and how it was known that they came together to build the Tower of Babel. However, because of the confounding, or because they were confounded, it was called Babel. Yeah, we saw that there is something called language and something called speech. Yeah, there's a difference between language and speech. Yeah, so language is something you know. Speech is what you say from what you know. So speech is like the expression or the expressive part of the language you know. So speech means to verbalize that which you already know. So language is more important before speech. So language precedes speech. Yeah, before I wake up in the morning, I say, oh, good morning, or good morning to you. It means that good is a language, morning is a language, or good is a word in a language, morning is a word in a language, and when I put it together, it makes a sense with my speech. Yeah, my speaking, yeah, you want to lay your hands on that teaching again on Sunday. Yeah, my speaking is giving vocal or verbalizing my language. Yeah, I'm putting verbal expression to that which I already have in my mind, in my language. Now, I said something. Interpretation of tongues on Sunday, I said, is that you only interpret to the extent of your vocabulary in the language in which you are interpreting. Let me tell you something. Yeah, no matter how spiritual you are, if you speak in tongues and want to interpret it in French, yeah, you will only be able to give expression to your interpretation to the degree of the French vocabulary you have in your heart, in your mind, in your head, in your vocabulary, in your faculty, really. Yeah, in you, yeah, your knowledge. So, interpretation of tongues is that we gave practical examples on Sunday. Yeah, for instance, I can interpret a tongue and say, don't give in to trepidation. Yeah, the same thing as don't give in to trepidation is equal to don't give in to fear. Is equal to don't give in or don't be scared. We saw that on Sunday. Yeah, I'm saying the same thing, but I'm giving it or expressing it to different people. So the interpretation is from the spirit based on impressions, but the conversion or the conversing or the channeling of the interpretation is to the degree at which the man allows or wants. Yeah, so you are the one in charge of your interpretation of tongues. Yeah, you are the one, you are the one saying the interpretation. Yeah, you are the one saying interpretation from the wide vocabulary you already have. Altogether, yeah, but the interpretation is something that, you know, you would have known by your spirit, by impressions. So, we said this on Sunday. Languages are about the minds or the hearts. Yeah, first, before speaking. Before speaking. Glory to God. Now, we saw something about confounding on Sunday, and we saw a few things about interpretation of language and all of that. Now, take note of this carefully. When two languages or two fields or two forms are involved, yeah, there would always be need for someone in the middle. Yet I explained that in passing when we're ending service on Sunday. What did I say? I gave an example of, you know, my trip and how someone who was talking, a Turkish speaking lady was communicating with me, but could not understand English. So she could not understand English. I could not understand her language. Now, before we could have a successful conversation, we would need somebody to be in the two or be in the middle of two of us that would give meaning to that which is being said. Now, when she talks, can I hear what she's saying? I can hear. Can I understand what she's saying? No, I cannot. Why? Because my vocabulary in Turkish language is not able. I don't have a vocabulary to handle what she's saying. Yeah? Let me say it again. Yeah? If you are English speaking and you meet a Frenchman, you are an Englishman who can only speak English. You are a friend and you meet a Frenchman who can only speak French. Yeah? Before both of you can communicate, you will need somebody in your middle to be able to listen to. That person that will be in your middle must have an understanding of English and French, such that when he listens to you in English, he is able to communicate the same. Yeah, the same. So he's able to translate. Now, will it be translated or interpret? It has to be interpretation. Why? Because he is trying to make you who listens to, or who understands only English, understand what is being said in French. So, okay, let's use English and Yoruba. You are Yoruba, or you are English, right? You only understand English, and you're having a conversation with someone who only understands Yoruba. Now, you don't understand Yoruba, either interpretation, explanation, translation, any of them. Now, the other person that speaks Yoruba doesn't understand English. So, if he comes and looks at you and says, Fetisile, you that you understand only English, you heard what he said clearly, but you do not understand what he said. Now, when someone comes in the middle of two of you to help communication, he will not come and tell you that only understands English, put your ears on the ground. Do you understand? He will not tell you that. Why? Because he is there to interpret what was said in Yoruba, not translate what was said in Yoruba. If he was to translate, what will he say? The man said, put your ears on the ground. Yeah? If he was to interpret, what will he say? Listen and pay attention to what is being done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, so we said all of that on Sunday. Yeah, I just ran through Sunday's teaching. Yeah, we said all of that to pay attention or to establish what language is really about. And now, summarily of that is that what? The language is about your faculty. It's about that vocabulary you already have in you. Are we together? Now, let's start looking at interpretation and how interpretation worked over the years from Genesis. Go to Genesis 42. Genesis 42. Genesis 42 verse 23. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. Hold on, this is the story of Joseph and his brothers. Now remember, Joseph had been long enough with them for him to be able to know their words and understand their sound or what they say. However, when they came, they didn't know that was Joseph. Yet Joseph did not reveal himself to be Joseph. He yet brought an interpreter to translate or interpret what they were saying in their language and what Joseph was going to be saying. Now, the word the interpreter in that verse is the word in the Hebrew word lut. Yeah? L-U-T-S. The word the interpreter is the word lut. L-U-T-S. You know, which is similar to the narrative of De Emmanuel and that in the Greek. Yeah? So, the interpreter in that verse is the word lut. And it really means just one who interprets. Yeah, we'll pay attention to that word just shortly. Now, that same word was used in Job chapter 32. Job 33, verse 23. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness. Yeah, so we see an interpreter in the conversation, a messenger, an interpreter. In Joseph's story, we see that Joseph spoke to his brothers with or by an interpreter. Now, the word the interpreter is a word that speaks about one who provides a level plane for both parties. Yeah? I'll say that again. Interpreter is a word that speaks about one who provides a level plane or a playing field or a level playing field, figurative expression, for both parties. Yeah, remember the example. You speak only English and you are communicating with one who speaks only Yoruba. Interpreter is the one in the middle who provides a level plane for both of you, both parties. So he has the interest of both parties at heart. Remember, interpretation is different from translation. Interpretation is to give meaning and direction or explanation of what is being said. Yeah, translation is speaking out every word to see what it stands for, what it means. You see, the person that is speaking doesn't need an interpretation. Remember, for the person speaking, the Yoruba. So I wanted to stick with that Yoruban English, yeah, then translation. I'm just sticking with it because I just have a definite example to pass the message across. Yeah, so let's stick with the English and Yoruba translation, or rather the language we're just speaking about just now. Look at it again. So we're looking at Joseph's story with an interpreter. We went to Job to see an interpreter. Yeah, now I just said something in passing. A fellow or the person speaking, so the person speaking English, yeah, to the Yoruba man who only understands Yoruba, that person speaking English. Okay, let's use English names and Yoruba names. Yeah, so let's use Simon and let's use Ayo. Yeah, so Simon is a man who speaks only English, is an Englishman. Yeah, Ayo is a lady who speaks only English. She's a Yoruba lady, only Yoruba rather. She's a Yoruba lady. Now, the Simon speaking English, Simon doesn't need interpretation for what he is saying. It's not after Simon finished speaking and I say, please, what's the meaning of what I just said? No. Why do you suppose so? Because before Simon could speak, he had a language or a vocabulary in him. Yeah, that's what we taught on Sunday, right? It is language before speaking. Yeah, you don't just wake up. Simon doesn't just wake up and say, ha, how are you doing? You know, say, I don't know what I just said, though. Imagine, you now have to now say, I don't know what I now say. You have to now, you understand? Yeah, so it is that you that you are speaking your language or the man speaking that language doesn't need an interpretation. It is the mind of the other person that needs an interpretation of what Simon said. So Ion needs an interpretation from what Ion or what Simon said in English. Yeah, please don't lose track, eh? Don't get confused. Yeah, I'm just saying the same thing. Look at Genesis 37 again. Genesis chapter 37. Verse 6. And he said unto him, here I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. Verse 7. And for behold, we are binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf, you know, this is just a dream, you know, and his brethren, verse 8, said unto him, shall they indeed reign over us, and shall they indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet for the more for his dream and for his words. Verse 9, and he dreamed yet another dream, and told it to his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. Yeah, and he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him, and said unto him, what is this dream that ye have dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? Yeah, look at verse 11. And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. So his father observed the same. So him telling them what he dreamed did not give them the understanding. Do you understand? So now we're looking at tongues and interpretation. I'm taking us back to Genesis to see dreams and interpretation. Yeah, we're trying to see dreams and interpretation. Yeah, that will help us understand or have a greater view of what tongues and interpretation. Never forget, interpretation in both fields will be the same. Bringing understanding or giving understanding or to uncover that which was said in a form that is not understood or from a form not understood. So him telling them what he was dreaming, that Joseph, did not give them an understanding. Yeah, they just concluded that this small boy, when were you even born? Yeah, what did the father do? The father was what? Observing his saying. Now look at verse 8. Yeah, verse 8. And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. We have dreamed a dream. Look at it again. We have dreamed a dream. And there is no interpreter. There's no interpreter of it. That word there, interpreter, is the word patar. P-A-T-H-A-R. Now, he now says, and Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Yeah? Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. Now, that word there, or the word interpret, in the context of what we're looking around or looking about, is a word that means to solve a crossroad or to give direction or to solve a puzzle, more like that. Yeah, to solve a puzzle, or to give direction. Yeah, this will help us in tongues and interpretation. So, the dream came as a problem because they didn't know what it meant. Then there was a solution. Look at verse 16 of chapter 40. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, yeah, it's more like Joseph solved the problem. Yeah? He solved the puzzle. Yes? He gave direction. Remember, in this chapter 40 now, we're already dealing with the narrative of Pharaoh's dream, Pharaoh's officer's dream and all of that. Now, look at verse 16. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, then what did Joseph do? Joseph solved the puzzle or gave direction to the dream. Yeah, he had solved the problem. Look at verse 16 again. When he saw the interpretation, it is when Joseph solved it that the chief baker now said, oh, this interpretation is good. Then he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I have three white baskets on my head. Look at verse 20. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto his servants, and lifted up his head, or the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker, amongst the servants. Look at chapter 41, verse 8. Chapter 41, verse 8. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for the magicians of Egypt, yeah, and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh, that's the Pharaoh, told them his dream. So remember, the first narrative was Joseph in the prison trying to interpret the dream of one, yeah, in the prison, yeah. Now this is Pharaoh having a dream. So Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. What would that mean? They said the word they interpret there will be what? To solve the puzzle, or to give a direction to the puzzle, or to solve that which is a problem, or to solve the issue. Yeah, so none of them could solve the issue. That's what it just really says in verse 8. Look at verse 12. And there was with us a young man. So they are starting narrating of a dream they had dreamed and all of that. And verse 12 now says, There was with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him our dream, and he interpreted us our dreams to each man according to his dream he had interpreted. He did interpret. That's verse 12. Yeah, and it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me, he restored unto my office, and he had the inks and everything. Then Pharaoh, in verse 14, sent and called for Joseph, right? And they brought him. Verse 15, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard of thee that thou can understand a dream to interpret it. So what did Joseph do? He solved the puzzle that the dream connoted. He brought the meaning to them in their understanding. Just by telling you what I had as a dream, or what I want to communicate to you as what I had as a dream, yeah, from Genesis, it doesn't mean that he has an understanding of what happened. Or you listening to it doesn't mean you have an understanding already. But a lot of times, the words used, or what is being said as a storyline, for instance, of the dream, is known to the speaker. He's the one that is speaking from his faculty of knowledge. Yeah, he had a dream. He had to use their language to express, using his capacity of his understanding of his language, such that Joseph will understand. Yeah, so a lot of times it is that we have another example in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 5. You see, the word interpretation in the book of Daniel was used about 6 times. And it's a word that is pesha. Look at Daniel 5. Daniel 5 verse 4. Remember, interpreting from Genesis is to solve the puzzle, or to give a solution, yeah, or which you said earlier on, like to reveal or to uncover that which you said, yeah, or to give meaning to. Look at verse 4, Daniel 5, verse 4. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver and brass and iron, of wood and of stone. In that same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlesticks upon the plasters of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Verse 7, the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof. Hold on, now, does that look like what you call a puzzle? Yes, look at it. Yeah, whosoever shall read this interpretation or this writing and show me or give me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck. Yeah, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Verse 8, there came in all the king's men, but they could not read the writing. Could they read the writing? Yes, they could see it. Could they interpret it? No, they could not. Yeah, they could see it, but they could not interpret it. Yeah, so seeing automatically doesn't give interpretation. Nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then the king Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changing him, and his lords were astonished. Now, look at verse 12. For as much as an excellent spirit, yeah, or look at verse 11. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences, dissolving doubts, were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the word interpretation. Now look at verse 25. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and his writing was written. And this is the writing that was written: Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. Now, verse 26, this is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God had numbered the kingdom, or numbered thy kingdom, and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balance and art found wanting. Option, now listen what he now says in verse 28. Peres, the kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Look at that carefully. Now, so Mene, Mene basically is just a word that speaks about money, or something that has weight, or something that has value. Yeah, then Tekel, you know, just a word that speaks about balance, weight in balances, like you see there. You know, an option, it means to divide or to split. So what did Daniel do? Daniel came and he constructs everything that was written and makes sense out of it. Now, independently, they might not have made sense. But what did Daniel do? He constructed it, brought it together, and gave a meaning. What now happened in verse 29? Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet. That means Daniel had what? Interpreted. He had what? Brought, he had constructively brought meaning to that which was happening. Yeah? So if you pay attention to this, you see that there's something similar with Daniel and Joseph. Yeah? Both Pharaoh and Nebuchadnezzar, you know, agreed that they had a unique spirit. Yeah, they knew that they had that intelligence. You know, they both had that which was unseen, something beyond the level of understanding. So it means that Daniel and Joseph had a lot of similarities. They heard, they saw, they could interpret, yeah, respectively. Hallelujah. So we see that the reason of interpretation is because they didn't have the meaning. So the reason why, really, the reason why they were looking for an interpreter was because, in as much as they had that thing, or that particular thing in its base form. Now, let me break that down. For Joseph's time, it will be what? The dream. For Daniel's time, it will be what? The writings. Yeah. Why did they need an interpretation? Yeah. They needed someone who would stand in between two different kinds of vocabulary to make it make sense to them. Do you understand? Yeah, there is one who dreamt, or who dreamt a dream, and there's another one who wants to know the interpretation of the dream. In the real sense, it was the same Pharaoh. Yeah. However, there is a need for one to stand in between them that has a vocabulary of both the dream and a vocabulary of Pharaoh, that has the vocabulary of the writing in reference to Daniel and the vocabulary of the king, so that it can bring to meaning. Yeah, not just translate, but give meaning. Give, not like you just see, imagine Joseph had Pharaoh's dream, you know, and he just said, we saw seven big cows, and seven, and Joseph just saying, and just saying, Malu, 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 yeah, Malu, Malu, yeah. Do you understand? What is, now look at it. If Pharaoh's dream said he saw seven fat cows and seven thin cows, what is translation? Joseph is to come and give that exact language, maybe seven Malu, yeah, or seven Toby Malu, yeah, whatever that is in Yoruba, yeah, and seven Slim, not Toby Malu, yeah. But what did Joseph not do? He didn't translate. He what? Interpreted. He interpreted. What did Daniel do? Yeah, verse 28 of Daniel 5. Yeah, the kingdom is. So what Daniel was saying, if you don't understand all those Mene, Mene, Tekel, option and everything, yeah, it really means divided, to be torn apart. Yeah, so interpretation a lot of times conveys the meaning or the conclusion to the hearers in his own native or his own language. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So it means that the explanation or the interpretation or the giving of meaning to that which is unknown is with the interpreter. He is the sole owner of how he chooses to communicate it. In the story of Joseph, yeah, Joseph had the dream. The ability or the ownership of the communication of the explanation is in the hands of Joseph. Same thing with Daniel. So the goal of the interpreter is to ensure that the people who don't understand what is being said, what has an understanding, is to ensure that you understand what. So if I'm an interpreter, my goal is to make sure that the person I'm interpreting to understands what is being said. That means my interpretation must not be ambiguous. It must be clear. Yes, the people, the audience will not have the interpretation. The interpretation is with me. Why? Because I'm the middleman who is bringing it from one form to another form. Yeah, let's bring it back home now. Tongues, right? Yeah, so you speak in tongues. Yeah, the sole owner of how you communicate the interpretation is you. You are the one that would ensure that those that are listening to you for interpretation would have an understanding to that which they are to know. It means that you are going to choose to relate to them on their level of understanding. Just like I did on Sunday. We saw a young boy in church, and what did I do? I used a language that I know he will be comfortable with to communicate that which I want to say or that which I want him to know. Yeah, so I must make sure that in my interpretation I am not ambiguous. I must make sure in my interpretation I am clear. Yeah, so it will come from the one who is in both realms of communication. So in the real sense, can you see? I give us this story to show us something, right? In Joseph's time, it is Joseph, a man who stood as the interpreter, yeah, when he was in prison to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh the dreamer. So Joseph took Pharaoh's dream and gave Pharaoh back the interpretation. Did you get that? Joseph, in the real sense, from the explanations we gave earlier on, it is Simon, the English-speaking person, Ayo, the Yoruba-speaking person, and the interpreter who understands both Simon in Simon's English and Ayo's Yoruba. In the real sense, for Pharaoh's story, yeah, it is Simon and Ayo as one person and the interpreter. So the interpreter is, look, it's beautiful. I got it this way. Simon, that is one person, a different man, and Ayo, a different lady, and an interpreter. Those are three different human beings. In Joseph's time, it is what? Simon, one language or one form, and Ayo is the same Simon. So it is Simon, the interpreter, back to Simon. In the real sense, back to Ayo. Yeah, in the real sense, but the reason why you call it Ayo is because of the difference, you know, in vocabulary and language and all of those things, yeah, or meaning. So Joseph picked from the same man and gave it back to him. Yeah, yeah, you pick and give it back. Yeah, Joseph first had a dream. They did not have the interpretation. They mocked him. Yeah, his father observed. They did not know the interpretation. Yeah. You see that? In Daniel's time, they did not know the interpretation. He took from them and gave back to them in a language they could understand, such that as soon as he did it, Belshazzar said what? Clothe Daniel with scarlet. Are we together? Are we together? So the man who is interpreting is the sole owner of how. You are the one to choose how you want to communicate it. Yeah? I'll say that again. You, the interpreter, you are the one that we choose. You are the owner of how you will communicate it. Now, never forget something we said on Sunday. How does God give the interpretation to you who wants to interpret? God's leading is in impressions. God's leading, you just have a prompting in your heart. You just have a prompting in your heart. You just have something, you know, you just have something that resonates more with your mind. But you are the one that needs to bring it out in a way. Yeah, in the spirit, really. You are the one, really, yeah, both everything together. Yeah, you are the one that will choose how, your choice of words, to be able to communicate it. We saw on Sunday also, yeah, a fellow brother of us interpreted his tongues. I interpreted my tongues. Yeah, we saw that there was a difference in how the interpretation came out. You know, and the fellow brother also said what? The reason is because of individual differences. My choice of words is not his choice of words. Yeah, my choice of words is to the degree of my English vocabulary, such that I will want to communicate according to that to you. Yeah, it is that I must have an understanding of English language. Yeah, then communicate it to you. See, interpretation of tongues, you don't learn new languages in interpretation of tongues. Yeah, it is based on the language you already know. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at John 12 quickly. John chapter 12. Verse 28. 12:28. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Hold on. What did the people say in verse 29? The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, what? An angel spake to him. What did Jesus say? Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Altogether, some said it thundered. Another said an angel spoke of something they all heard. So all of them heard it at the same time. Yeah? All of them heard it at the same time. Dude, I just said what happened. But in as much as they heard it, yeah, they didn't have what it took to make it make sense. All together. Yeah, so go to Acts 2. Acts 2, 4. Acts 2, 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. Verse 11. Crete and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. How do you suppose they were able to hear the wonderful works of God in their tongues? It is that what? There was interpretation of tongues. Now, don't lose track. Don't lose track. Yeah? Don't lose track. When you see all those cities in verse 8, look at verse 8. How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? That's to tell, remember what was happening. What was happening was in verse 1. The day of Pentecost was fully come. What is the day of Pentecost? It's a ceremony that what the Jewish people celebrate. So it's not far-fetched for them to be hearing one language. Yeah, so when he starts saying Persians, Medes, Elamites, and dwellers of Judea. No, he was just talking about people who have already gone to different cities. However, they came back to what? The city for Pentecost, the ceremony. So it's like, you know, in Abuja, you can call the Agogo Fishing Festival, you know, where everybody that's from Abuja, in as much as you are living and dwelling in Port Harcourt, in Rivers, in Kogi, in Enugu, yeah, when is that time of the year, all of you come from your different locations. So what they would have written was this. Yeah, I don't know if Agogo Fish Festival, for example, in Abuja. Yeah, and the day of the Agogo Fishing Festival was fully come, as Acts 2:1. They began to speak in tongues in Acts 2:4. Now, and they were all amazed in verse 8. And how hear we every man in our tongues wherein we were born? It is that they were speaking the language of the natives of the Agogo Fishing Festival, which is what people that are from the city of Abuja, for instance. Yeah, so when you now say Parthians made this element, it's like saying people that went to Enugu to stabilize their business, people that went to Port Harcourt, people that went to Imo, people that went to Kogi, people that went to Kwara. Yeah, they all came back. Look at it. Verse 11 now says, we do hear them speak in our tongues. It's not that they were speaking different tongues in Acts 2:4 or different language. No, there was a common language that was used in interpretation in Acts 2. Yeah, remember, we said interpretation is in the language. A language is a basic and major function of your understanding. So it's to the degree of your understanding that will make what I'm interpreting to you to make sense to you. It is how much you have allowed God's word to dwell in you in the real sense that will be able to relate what God is saying. Hallelujah. Yeah, I've hit a nail on the head. Go to Colossians 3:16. Go to Colossians 3:16. Colossians 3:16. In Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of God dwell richly in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. So what is the fundamental to what? What is the fundamental thing to teaching, admonishing, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. There is the word message. Let the message of Christ dwell richly in you. Yeah, let the message of Christ dwell richly in you. Yeah, so now look at it this way. Yeah, Yoruba, Simon, Ayo, interpreter, right? So the interpreter is to take from Simon's language to make what Simon said to make sense to Ayo. So let's assume Simon is God. Yeah, the interpreter is a man, and they want to give the church brethren. Did you get that? Ayo, is the church, figuratively. Simon is God, the interpreter. Remember, that God that is Simon and the interpreter is the same person. Because God will want to say something through the mouth of the interpreter to who? To what? I or the church. So how would the interpreter, what determines the extent of which the interpreter will do justice to that which God wants to say? It is by having so much of the vocabulary of God in him. See, look at it this way. Take it back a step now. So Simon, an English speaker. Yeah. Ayo, a Yoruba lady speaker. Right? Or understands only Yoruba. Yeah. The interpreter can only communicate what Simon says in English to the degree of his vastness in his vocabulary in English and in Yoruba. Yeah. So the only way that the interpreter can make sense of what Simon is saying to Ayo in Yoruba is by him having a wide understanding or a wide vocabulary, both in English and in Yoruba. Same thing with the one who has an interpreter, who is to interpret that which God is saying. So that which God will say through your mouth will be to the degree at which you've allowed his message build your vocabulary. Yeah, that is where you do what? That's why it says, that's why you teach, you admonish in psalms and hymns, singing with grace in your heart. So Acts 2, they spoke in other tongues. Acts 5, 6, 7, they came from diaspora to celebrate Pentecost. Yeah? Yeah? Look, see Acts 20. Let me show you something. Yeah? They all came from their different locations, what you call diaspora, yeah, to celebrate that feast. Look at Acts 20, 16. Even Paul did same. Acts 20 verse 16. It says, for Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia. For he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at the Jerusalem, or at Jerusalem, the day of Pentecost. So the day of Pentecost that happened in Acts 2:1 was not the last there ever was. Even Paul still looked forward to what? Attending. So it is a feast where people that are from the city, that have gone to other city, which you now call diaspora, now come together to partake in that festival. So the day of Pentecost is a day or a feast, or the Pentecost feast is a feast that the Jewish people celebrate. Look at 1 Corinthians 16:8. Yeah? 1 Corinthians 16 verse 7. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permits. But I will tarry at Ephesus until what? Pentecost. Hallelujah. Pentecost. Yeah? So go back to Acts 2. Let's try round up somewhere here. Look at Acts 2:4. Look at Acts 2:6. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, yeah? Because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Yeah? Remember, what did Luke show us in verse 4? They spoke in other tongues. What were they hearing in verse 6? In his own, their own language. See, how we Jewish people, which speak in other tongues, and the same Jewish people were saying they heard them speak in our language in verse 6. Altogether, that means there was a part of tongues in that meeting in Acts 2:4, and there was a part of interpretation. It was interpretation part that they heard when he said, we heard them speak in our own language. Altogether, yeah. See, if we are saying there was, now look at it. If it was their own language they were speaking alone in Acts chapter 2, they will not be confounded. They will not be surprised. Because it's just like people who were Jewish come together to speak the Jewish language. But there was a different language involved. However, there was still a hearing of the others of their own language. Look at verse 8. And how hear we every man in our own tongue when we were born? So by the time they had arrived, they were hearing. They were hearing the interpretation of that which they had spoken in tongues. So in other tongues, Acts 2, was that Jewish language in Acts 2:4? No. It was a different language from the Jewish language. If it was Jewish language, there shouldn't be a story in Acts 2. Because that's normal. It's normal for people to gather themselves together and just have a meeting in their language. But there was other tongues and there was their own language. So there was a different language from the Jewish language that they heard. So when the multitude came, they were listening to their own language. That means the disciples had what? Prayed out or what? That they had, I'm trying to use 1 Corinthians 14. They had prayed out, or they had prayed so to an intent, or prayed so as to give an interpretation. Hallelujah. So what the people were listening to, that they were hearing their language, was the interpretation of tongues, not the tongues. Yet the tongues is not an evoluted language. It's not a language that has an evolution. No. The tongue is a language that is unique to the saints. What did Peter do? Peter rose up in verse 11, verse 14. But see verse 11. Look at verse 11. He says, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. In the real sense, those are unbelievers. Yeah, we cannot really build so much doctrine. We can just assume that, oh, let's assume that, you know, they just heard the wonderful works of God. Yeah, it's not the believers. It's not that the believers have tongues, unbelievers have interpretation. No. They were just hearing, but those are unbelievers. They were just hearing that which was said. Remember, you see, it's the same thing that happened in John 12, where we just read. Yeah, thunder struck or something happened, a voice happened. Some people said, thunder. Yeah, some people had said an angel spoke. What did Peter now do with all the confusion that was happening? Peter stood up and addressed. What did he call them? Verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, ye men of Judea. Let me tell you something that will just make life easy for you. For Peter to be able to stand up and speak without an interpreter, and he said, ye men of Judea, and they all listened to him, it means that all of them, they had a common language. Did you get that? Yeah, did you get that? So that sorts out all the story. Look at it. If you look at verse 9, where it says Persians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamia, and all those, and if you're looking at those verses and you think that those are people with different languages, no, you will get confused. You will remain confused. Why? Because you begin to think that, what they were hearing different language. Someone was hearing modernized Yoruba. One was hearing modernized Igbo. No. Peter stood up in verse 14 and he spoke with one voice. No, nothing tells us in Acts 2:14 that Peter stood up and there was an interpreter to speak to the men in different languages. No. Peter stood up and they all heard him. That means they all had a common language. Yeah, what the audience was responding to, yeah, was both tongues and what was said in their language. So they were surprised at their language in the real sense. No, they were surprised at the other tongues that was not their language. Yeah, and they now, how did that by extension become our language? So what did Peter begin to do? Peter now stood up and began to what? Speak in their language. And he explained it as what Joel said. That what you have just seen, Joel said what? My sons and daughters shall prophesy. So, unbelievers, a confused audience, were the ones that told us that they were talking about the wonderful works of God. So, we can't really build doctrine from their response. Yeah. However, we see another example in Acts 10, verse 46, while Peter yet spoke. Acts 10, 46. Yeah, verse 10, 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. So, what Peter understood was what? The interpretation. So, the magnified God was when they gave meaning to what? That which they spoke in tongues. Then that's why you now see is that they magnified God. So it means that we must pay attention to that which Peter says, that which Paul says. So let's end in 1 Corinthians 14 right now. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. You see, first of all, we've already seen something in Mark 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and this sign shall follow. So, dear saints, first of all, I agree with Jesus when he says this sign shall follow, and he says tongue shall follow. So, you speaking in tongues is you just flowing with that which God has already said about tongues. Or that which God has already said about that which will happen, which is what? Speaking tongues. Yeah. So remember, Paul now teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that what? The same spirit responsible for that tongues which you've received is the same spirit responsible for the what? Interpretation of the tongues. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:2 right now. He now says, for he that speaketh in tongues speaketh not unto men, yeah, but unto God. For no man understandeth it. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. The word there, mystery, is the word mysterion. It means something hidden to understand. So, well, something waiting to be explained. Yeah? Yeah? So, he speaketh mystery. Yeah? He speaketh mystery. It just simply means that which is to be explained. See, mystery, mysterion, is not that which can never be explained. Yeah? You see, if somebody says something now, says, I was having an accident. As soon as the car was somersaulting, I just came out of the car and sat on the floor, and nothing even touched me. That's a mystery. So the way we use mystery in our day and time is that, wow, that's a mystery. I cannot explain what happened. you just left the car and sat. The door never opened. You understand? That's what you call mystery. But this word mystery, mysterion, is something hidden that is to be understood. So if you speak French, it is hidden to the understanding of a man that speaks only English. So you need to explain. So if you speak French alone and you are speaking to a man who understands only English, that which you say in French is a mystery to his heart. What does it really mean? Because what you said in French can be explained. So it really means that it is that which is waiting for explanation. Hallelujah. So the reason why tongues, yeah, is not understood or is not, our minds are not fruitful is because it's spoken in and by in the spirit, by the spirit, in the spirit, by our mouth, but in the spirit. So what is communicated is clear in the spirit. But when it comes to the minds, our minds, in the usual way we talk, yeah, it becomes a what? A mystery. That's why Paul now tells you, for no man, so no man's mind understand that which is spoken. So the only way a man will understand that which is spoken, which is tongues, is when it's what? Interpreted. Why? Because it is a mystery. That which is being waiting, or that which is waiting to gain or to be given an understanding. So a Frenchman, what he's saying in French is clear. But to the other, it's not clear. So a Frenchman is speaking French, an Englishman that is listening can hear what he's saying but cannot understand what he's saying. So that which is said by the Frenchman is a mystery to the Englishman, but not a mystery to the Frenchman. So the same thing with tongues. When you speak in tongues, it's clear. Yeah, you are in communication with God. It's clear. But you need to bring it. But at the point, it is a mystery until you bring out an interpretation from the same source. From the same source. From the same source. So tongues is known to two parties, the speaker and God. So God gives, or God makes you clear, or God has something to say which you should say as an interpreter. So the speaker and God, and the speaker is in the spirit. You get that? The speaker is the communication with God, rather. The speaker is in the spirit. So when it comes out, it will come out as, or to come out of the third party, as he doesn't understand. Because the third party will now be like his mind, or the brethren in the church. Yeah, not that the brethren or the people in the church are not hearing. No, no. Tongues will not make sense to your English vocabulary. The same way if you are only an English speaker, French will not make sense to your English vocabulary. Yeah, how your mind sees grammar, sees English. No. It will not make sense. That's why Paul now says in verse 16. See verse 16. He now says, else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, that's in tongues, how shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned, that someone who doesn't know or who is not schooled in matters concerning, you know, the things of the spirit, how can he know when to say amen at thy giving of thanks? Yeah, seeing that he understandeth not what thou said. However, for thou verily giveth thanks well, but the other is not edified. It's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way this evening. I know I said a lot today, right? I know I said a lot today, taking us to Genesis, back to Daniel, yeah, then back to John, then back to 1 Corinthians. But in days to come, we know, just, you know, listen to this teaching again and again and again, you know, and you will get... the mysteries will become clear. Hallelujah. There's nothing mysterious about what I said today, but it takes a lot of patience. Yeah. What I'm just trying to do in this series is to make us unbottle our mind concerning the meats, or as regarding the meats of interpretation of tongues. We sorted tongues out. I'm trying to give, you know, an order in which interpretation is taught in scriptures and see ourselves through in these things. Have a lovely evening. I love you all. Cheers.